So the question that arises is, how do we acquire this doctrine? Well, first, we need to be enlightened by the Lord, for it is something revealed by the Lord alone. So this begs the question then as to what is the nature of this enlightenment and how does the Lord decide who receives it? Before considering these questions, let's turn to what is stated by the Lord in the Doctrine of Sacred Scripture number 57. So this is about the nature of enlightenment. The genuine truth, which must be of doctrine, appears in the sense of the letter to none but those who are in enlightenment from the Lord. Enlightenment is from the Lord alone and exists with those who love truths because they are truths and make them of use for life. With others, there is no enlightenment in the Word. The reason why enlightenment is from the Lord alone is that the Lord is in all things of the Word. The reason why enlightenment exists with those who love truths because they are truths and make them of use for life is that such are in the Lord and the Lord in them. For the Lord is his own divine truth, and when this is loved because it is divine truth and it is loved when it is made of use, the Lord is in it with the man. So this number answers the questions, how do we acquire the doctrine of genuine truth, what is the nature of enlightenment, and how does the Lord decide who receives enlightenment? To answer the first question on how we acquire the genuine truths of doctrine is that these appear in the sense of the letter. So we have to go to the sense of the letter of the word to procure this understanding of doctrine. But as has already been stated, to perceive it requires one to be enlightened by the Lord. So this brings us to our second question regarding the nature of this enlightenment. Now notice here that enlightenment from the Lord is not the product of some mystical practice requiring near superhuman efforts of concentration to achieve an altered state of consciousness. Enlightenment exists with those who love truths for no other reason than that they are truths and who make them of use for life. So if you want to achieve enlightenment, you simply need to love truths because they are truths. And if we want to know what loving divine truth entails, it is to make it of use or apply it to life, that is, to live from it. And this has to be one of the most straightforward statements on how to achieve enlightenment in existence. So how does the Lord decide who should receive enlightenment? Well, as we've seen, it is received by all those who love truths, evidenced in their making use of them for life. Now, the primary doctrinal idea being presented in this work is the idea that the Lord is the Word. What that means is that he is his own divine truth. So to engage with the word is to apply truths from the word to life. And this is what it means to receive the Lord, or what is the same, to be enlightened. So enlightenment isn't something the Lord arbitrarily doles out, but is what arises when the conditions of loving truths for the sake of use, and in particular the uses of regeneration, are met. To see the Lord as the Word is to think of him as the divine truth, and to understand that no one is prevented from receiving enlightenment so long as they love truths through looking to apply them to life. If this is done, the conditions for enlightenment are met, and if met, it is impossible not to receive enlightenment because enlightenment is essential for the regeneration of the human mind. If evils are to be seen so that they can be shunned as sins against the Lord, then enlightenment is needed. Without enlightenment, this is impossible, and so regeneration is not possible. Therefore, whenever anyone looks to the Lord to shun evils as sins, they are enlightened. In other words, they're given insight into what is opposed to the life of heaven within them that needs to be shunned as sin, and what is needed in order to live a spiritual life. So when there's a willingness to live from the genuine doctrine of truth, There is formed a basis within the natural mind that enables more interior things of a spiritual and celestial nature to be received. Now, this is described as light from the spiritual and celestial senses within the Word, and it is through this that it is said that the Lord is present in the natural. So spiritual light refers to a spiritual understanding. It refers to truths. So the idea of the Lord entering by means of this light describes how the Lord is ordering the natural mind. It's ordered in such a way so that the celestial and spiritual light generates a capacity in the natural to perceive what is good and true and evil and false, and to act on what it perceives so that higher spiritual ideas and principles are able to rule over lower natural ideas or what is derived from the appearances of the senses. And it's worth noting that it is only through inner work, the work of self-examination and repentance, with a view to shunning evils as sins against the Lord, that the affections can be purified. For it is through the purification of the affections that produces an increase in the perception of interior realities due to an increase in spiritual and celestial light. And this is all captured in the very last sentence of the Doctrine of Sacred Scripture, number 58, where we read that perception comes from affection and thought from perception, and thus is produced the acknowledgement, which is called faith. So through inner work, there is an increased or an increased sensitivity to what constitutes what is good and true through an inner perception. To seek truths from the Word with a view to applying them to life, that is, to spiritual life, is a precondition to having one's mental sight opened so that we can comprehend the doctrine of genuine truth as it exists in the letter of the Word. And this is only comprehended in the act of applying genuine truths to life. Now, to apply truths to life is to elevate them, because we only apply them if we value them. To value something means to elevate it above what is less valued. To elevate truths within the mind is done through their application to life, and through this, spiritual perception is granted. Now, spiritual perception is spiritual light, and it is experienced as an internal perception that something is indeed true. It is to intuit that what is true is in fact true. And this applies as much to being able to perceive truths in the Word as it does to having the ability from those truths to perceive what is evil and false within the natural mind. So perception is absolutely essential if regeneration is to occur. So this interior light that is in the mind gets captured within the natural level of a person's awareness when the application of truths is the principal focus for one's work with truths. And that perception is the Lord with us. It is not from us. It's because that application of truths reorganizes the natural mind into a form that corresponds to what is higher and allows what is of a higher quality to be seen. And really, this is what it means to be enlightened. So just going back to this relationship of correspondences to doctrine and what's found in the Doctrine of Sacred Scripture, number 56, where it states that doctrine is not procured by means of the spiritual sense, but is only lightened up and corroborated. For as said before, no one comes into the spiritual sense of the word by means of correspondences unless he is first in genuine truths from doctrine. We see then that the spiritual sense is only accessible by means of correspondences if a person is first in genuine truths. And this is because the spiritual sense aligns itself with the doctrine of genuine truth, or the doctrine of genuine truth is completely aligned with the spiritual sense of the word. So in working with those veiled truths, that is, applying the science of correspondences to these truths, in order to access what is more interior, the idea here is that the more interior things will corroborate the doctrine of genuine truth, which is solely concerned with the salvation of the human race through the regeneration of the human mind. It is the spiritual sense of the word that supports and brings about this end, but it only brings it about through a person's willingness to practice the doctrines of genuine truth. So, you know, we can read the heavenly doctrines. We can find all kinds of interesting things on a whole range of different subjects. And in doing so, never actually come to recognize or recognize that which is called the doctrine of genuine truth. And the point here is that interesting things don't save us from the hell that is our opprobrium. Practice does. So the doctrine of genuine truth is only revealed. It can only be revealed by the Lord to us. Yet it is here in the Word. It is here at the level of the letter. It can be understood at a natural level. And so in that sense, it is hidden in plain sight. And we need to realize that there is nothing more important than this, for it instructs us, or it instructs the natural mind in those things that are of eternal consequence, such as the true nature of the Word, as we said before, that the Lord is the Word. And all this brings about the conditions for our salvation when we take hold of these ideas and begin to live from them. And what they're able to do is reveal the nature of our opprobrium and provide the means by which we're able to be freed from it. They tell us what the spiritual life is, that the spiritual life is only present where self-examination and repentance is practiced in an effort to shun evils as sins against the Lord. To engage with the heavenly doctrines, to engage with the Word, to say one believes in the truths found there, and not see the need to do what they ask of us is to miss the message. It is not to see or apprehend what the doctrine of genuine truth teaches. So, the spiritual sense will provide insights that corroborate and bring enlightenment as to what's required so far as the practical application of the doctrine of genuine truth to the life of the mind is concerned. The appearance is that working with correspondences is somehow able to provide us with the spiritual sense of the word. But this is just that, an appearance. It cannot do that. As has been mentioned a number of times, the doctrine of genuine truth can only be revealed, and it's revealed by the Lord. The doctrine of genuine truth, because it is revealed, is not the product of some formulaic or mechanical process of transposing terms or of transposing natural meanings for their spiritual meanings.